morning, people. Thank you. Good to see you in the house of God today. On this, our 131st anniversary. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And it's good to be together to celebrate with God's people. And to be reminded that we are part of a great fellowship that extends right around the globe. It is the fellowship, the community of Jesus. I was given a gift this morning, and I want to thank Josiah for this gift. And you can see that it is Jesus. Jesus, who is on a point looking out, and I asked Josiah why he was pointing. I'm not quite certain why he's pointing, but Josiah, he's pointing to the larger world, isn't he? And he has sent us on a mission to share the love of Jesus. Now, sometimes, even though we call ourselves Christians, we don't quite understand why we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you were asked to justify that, you would say, well, I believe it because God has said it, and that's good. But there are some profound implications to this. In 1 John chapter 4, we read that John says twice, God is love. Now, in order for there to be love, what must there be? There must be relationship. For God to be inherently love, he must have within himself relationship. And so God reveals himself as someone who has within himself relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you know how important relationship is for us. How important love is for us. And this flows directly from the character of God. Community, sharing, relationship, love. That flows directly from the nature of God. So that when he created us in his image, he created us both with this capacity and this need to love and be loved. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We know how important love is to us. And let's understand how unique this is to the biblical revelation. I challenge people sometimes to simply go and Google. That's a word that we use these days, Google. Try Googling love and secularism. See what you find. Try Googling love and Hinduism. See what you find. Google love and Islam. See what you find. And you will see that indeed, love finds its roots clearly in the biblical revelation. God is love. And we have been created in his image. So when we give glory to Jesus, it's not because we are Jesus-only people. It's because we have the teaching of Jesus who tells us that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is essential in opening the way. How will we see the nature and the glory of God? It's the Lord Jesus who said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And what about the Spirit? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us in John 16 that all that is the Father's is mine, and the Spirit will take it and make it known to you. So what does the Spirit reveal? He reveals Jesus. And so that is why we are the people of Jesus Christ. That's why we are called Christians. That's why we are followers of Jesus. And so when somebody says, oh, that doctrine of the Trinity is strange and unnecessary, ask them whether or not love is important to them. If it is, tell them God is love, and for God to be love, he must have relationship within himself. And so he has given us a glorious revelation that can only come through Jesus Christ. Now, there's so much more that we can say on this because I'm not giving you my sermon this morning. It's just that God prompted me to say these things. Because sometimes when we're singing about the Spirit and the Father and the Lord Jesus, we don't know how to put it together. But let's understand that our very salvation depends upon the fact that there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That thou, my God, shouldst die for me, we sing Wesley's hymn. And Wesley understood that God could die, but God could die only in the person of the incarnate Son of God. Now, we're going to leave this. But I want you to think deeply and appreciate all that the Scripture says and reveals to us about the glory of the perfect unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm glad to bring greetings from sister churches from Halifax. From Halifax to Richmond, B.C., Pastor Bruce, you'll be thrilled to know that God is raising up for himself a new people in our tribe in Halifax. And they are having a significant impact in the military community, amongst other things there. Really thankful for how God is always at work. And what we want to do is always be praying that we will be in tune with what God is doing. It was Blackaby who said, find out where God is working and go and join him there. We don't have to create opportunities. God's already at work. And we just go and join him there. Now, we are also part of an international fellowship that extends around the world, and God continues to grow our fellowship in some significant ways. We have a partner that has been a partner with us for less than 4 years in India. It is an indigenous movement that is now 3 million people and counting in northern India that has been called the graveyard of the missionary. God is doing something extraordinary there. And in the grace of God, they have chosen to partner with us. I don't understand it. We are their only international partner, church to church. God is doing something extraordinary there. And there are opportunities for us to be involved in short-term assignments there in all kinds of ways. God is doing something truly blessed. Pray for them. Amongst other things, this movement has grown out of what had been a mainline Presbyterian school, university, if you like. And God continues to use this. In 1992, they had 500 students. They now have some 14,000, nearly 15,000 students. It is a Christian minority institution. It has a special status as such in that it can have 51% of its students be Christians. That's extraordinary. But they have chosen to be an institution that invites students. They were rated the top university in northern India by the Times of India in September of last year. And they have been a great testimony. But it is out of that that God has seen this movement that is multiplying. And God continues to do a good thing there. But understand that they are under severe persecution. They've been bombed. Their leader goes around with armed guards that has automatic weapons. Can you imagine Pastor Bruce walking up here with a couple of armed guards? But that's the way it is there. It is a dangerous place to be ministering. And the leader of the movement is a courageous man, not an offensive man, but a courageous man who everywhere, whether it's in the Parliament of India, because he does have the status that brings him to speak to the highest leaders of the land, or to the villages, he is always just sharing the good news of Jesus. And God is doing extraordinary things in bridging the gap between Muslim and Hindu, because he recognizes that God is the God of all. And he says something rather striking, that God has no religion. And it is true that God has no religion. God is beyond religion, beyond are making of some kind of system of belief. And as such, he says that the Bible is the mind of God. And so that whether your background is Hindu or Muslim or Christian, and very often Christian doesn't mean very much there, and how much does it mean here? That the Bible is for you. It is the revelation of God to us all. Praise God for what he is, for what God is doing in that place. And I'm thankful to say that our traditional connection in India, the United Missionary Church in India, based in Kolkata, is having a significant impact, and some of their leaders have been raising up church planters who use a discipling model to do that. And all over India, they are continuing to grow and expand. Thankful for what God is doing. God is growing for himself our partners. And it's not that we are the only ones, but let's celebrate what God is doing in our family. And in Kenya, Charles Kinyanjui, since 2004, God has brought him into our family. And there is a movement that began as no one but himself and his family that is now numbering about 4 million who are following Jesus. You want to celebrate that? Hey, that is worth celebrating. And God continues to do what he said he would do. Our Savior said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, we are inclined here to sometimes think that our best days are past. Not so. And let's get over the funk that we're in and recognize that God is calling us to be faithful in our time and to be the agents to see our world transformed. Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus uses the wonderful parable of the yeast in the dough. And let's be yeast in the dough. Can you see the yeast? You can't see the yeast. But what can you see? The effect that the yeast has. And that's our opportunity to be yeast in the dough. Now, 131 years, that's a pretty good run. But let's pray that should the Lord tarry, there be another 131 years. And that those 131 years should be even greater than the former glory. Now, this year in our larger family in Canada, we received 4 new congregations and 2 more are about to be received this month. I am thankful for what God is doing. In 1885, the big news was the Louis Riel Rebellion. Do you remember that? You remember that? Okay. I'd like to meet you if you remember that. And that was also the year that they sank or drove the last spike in the CPR railway. Our population in Canada was about 4.5 million. And the national government, its total budget was 39 million. I'd like to go back there. Now, some things change and some things do not. And so this morning, as we address how is it that we go forward, if we've been listening, we've already heard it in our singing and our exhortations of the way to go forward. But I want to pinpoint something very particular this morning, and that will be found in John chapter 15. But before we go there, just a little anecdote. Some of you will remember when our vehicles, either trucks or cars, had bench seats in the front. Anybody remember those? Anybody still have one? Yeah. Oh, you still have one. Is that right? Yeah. Do you drive it? No, you just go and sit there and kiss? Or? All right. But we all remember those days. And in those days, you would have the man behind the steering wheel and the sweetheart sitting up close beside. You remember those days, some of you? Yes? And the story goes, well, we don't want too much detail here, all right? But the story goes that the husband and wife were driving along, and the wife was on the passenger door sitting first, and there's a big gap in between. And she says to her husband, "Do you remember when we used to sit so close together?" And she says, "Oh, how I miss that." And the man who is hanging on to the steering wheel says, "Well, I haven't moved." Now, that may be true in the physical sense, but sometimes there's movement emotionally, isn't there? Okay? But that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. About our intimacy with God. Because it can be like a couple that have been estranged. You know that we can be in the same room, and we can be very, very far removed from people. And sometimes, even though we are in the same room with God, in fact, we know that we are never out of the presence of God. We read in Psalm 139 that there is no place that we can move that actually removes us from the presence of God. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of the sea, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." There is no place where we can distance ourselves from God because He is present with us. But our hearts, and Pastor Bruce alluded to this morning, can be very, very far from Him. There is an expression that comes to us from a monk by the name of Lawrence. It is called practicing the presence of God. It is about intentionally being aware of the presence of God. Now, it can be that you are here and you are not aware of the presence of God even now. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 reminds us to pray without ceasing. How do you pray without ceasing? That is being aware continually of the presence of God. And when we live like that, we live differently. And I can tell you that when I forget to practice the presence of God, that's when I get off the track. That's when I get into trouble. That's when I say things I shouldn't say. That's when I do things that I shouldn't do. And so that's where we need to relook at John chapter 15 with this in mind. And we have the fact that is presented to us in the first few verses. The fact of our intimacy with God. "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. I am the true vine. You are the branches." That's our fundamental reality in Jesus. That we have been joined with Jesus. That we have His very life within us. That's what the work of the Spirit is. To bring the life of Jesus into our lives. But then after the fact, we have the command that's in verse 4. "Remain in me," or "abide in me, and I will remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, we all know that it is possible to live our lives in Jesus in ways that are very unfruitful. That the life of Jesus is not evident. When we are remaining in Jesus, we are like Jesus. Amen? It's his attitudes, his behavior, his character that is demonstrated. And when we don't, oh, I remember having this conversation with somebody who was being rather snarky with me. And I said to the individual, well, is that Jesus or is that you? At which point the person said, oops. And sometimes we forget to practice the presence. Now, what is it to practice the presence? Brother Lawrence never actually wrote anything. A book as such. But there are a few of his thoughts and there were a few recollections of others that were brought together in this little book. It's only about 60 pages long. You can get it on the web if you don't want to purchase it. And in it, he says things like this. When we would be called to prayer, I would stop doing what I was doing, or rather, I would go and join for the prayer time to continue what I was already doing, you see? Because when you are living with an awareness, when you are practicing the presence, what are you always doing? Praying. It was about 5 hours driving here. I can tell you I had a wonderful conversation with the Lord. By the way, I'm having a conversation with the Lord right now, are you? I'm saying, Lord, help me to say what you want me to say. Help me not to think about myself and help me to think about what you want me to say to bless these good folk. But there is that conversation and we learn this by practicing his presence. And we have the command to remain, to abide, which tells us that it is possible to actually slip away from an awareness of the reality of God in our lives. Amen? You know it's true. And you know that this is something that we must constantly practice. It's not that we do our devotions in the morning and be aware of God, and then off we go, and then oops, it's only when we run into trouble that we think of God again. It's rather being aware of him leading and guiding throughout the day. Of when you meet someone, Lord, what is it that you want me to say? What is it that you don't want me to say? And Lord, is this a person that you want me to help? Sometimes he surprises us with the opportunities. And are we ready to respond to the Spirit of God speaking to us the word of Jesus at that point? And sometimes it's very inconvenient. Our daughter lives in Virginia Beach. For us, it's about a 14-hour drive to get there. She's married to a sergeant major in the Marines, and he is presently stationed in Virginia Beach. And so we drove there this summer, stayed a while, and then on the way back, we had to drive past a couple of large cities, and around Washington, D.C., it was a parking lot. And so our average speed in the first 3 hours was 30 miles an hour. That's 50 kilometers an hour for those of you who need metric. And so after 3 hours on the road, my wife and I stopped at a famous international restaurant, McDonald's, for a comfort break. And it was very hot. You remember that the summer was a hot summer. It was 36 plus that day. And so as we're making our way to the restaurant, a young man steps up and says, excuse me. Oh, by the way, his name was Dennis. Dennis. And so Dennis steps up and he says, excuse me, can you give me a boost? My battery is dead. I can't get the car started. So, of course, because we're already doing so well in our schedule, I say, of course, because the Lord is saying to me, you're going to help this young man. And We try, and for 20 minutes, we're trying to get his battery charged enough so that his engine will turn over. It won't turn over. In fact, as I was revving the engine on my vehicle, it was actually overheating. That's how hot it was that day. And so I said to him, this isn't going to work. You said you wanted to buy a battery. Why don't I take you to go and buy a battery? Yeah, I want to buy a battery at Walmart. All right, now we have to find a Walmart. I'm 600 miles from home. He's 600 miles from home. So we have to find a Walmart. We find the Walmart. It is down the highway some piece. And so I take him, and my wife, Michelle, is sitting with the young mom and the baby. And so they're sitting in the shade outside and waiting for me and for Dennis as we go and find a battery. Now, of course, he's got to remove the battery from his vehicle, and he doesn't have tools. Well, in the providence of God, I had vehicles in my car. I don't always carry them. And so I had the right tools to remove his battery. Of course, he managed to drop a couple of bolts and so on, so that complicated things again. But off we went with the battery, and he is saying, man, I can't believe that you're doing this. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, I can't believe I'm doing this as well. But I'm having a conversation with Jesus, and I'm saying, yes, Lord, this is about glorifying you. Because you see, we use seven sayings when we train people in the way of Jesus. And one of the sayings is, I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and to invite them to follow him. Because you see, the demonstration of the gospel is essential to the proclamation of the gospel. And as we're driving along, I'm able to tell him stories about how God met us in just the same kinds of circumstances. There was a time when I was driving from Northern Ontario. I was pastor on Manitoulin Island for 6 years. Between Christmas and New Year's. At that point, we had 3 children. And we had this wonderful vehicle. I won't tell you the brand, but it didn't like humidity. And so we are in a sleety, miserable drive in the dark and in the middle of nowhere on the highway down from Manitoulin Island to Southern Ontario where our parents lived. And, of course, the car conks out, and I'm under the hood, and I always travel with 2 spray cans, a spray can to dry and a spray can to coat. You've been there. And how does it work? Doesn't work all that well. Anyway, and so I could see the arcing of the coil wire, you know, that wonderful, colorful blue arc, that lightning under the hood when my wife would turn the key, and we are stranded. There's nothing else I can do. I'm looking, and there are yard lights that are distances away. It's an area where there are many lakes, and even though it's winter, I'm thinking, if I set out, I don't know if I would make it. So I'm there with my wife, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and I'm saying, I can't get it started. Let's pray. So here's my prayer. Remember this prayer. We closed our eyes. I said, Lord, help. You know that prayer? You know that prayer. And we opened our eyes. And as we opened our eyes, another vehicle on this lonely stretch of highway had pulled in. It is a Ford cargo van, or is it Econo van? I can't remember the... Anyway, it's a Ford van. And he steps out, he comes back, I get out, and I say, this is what the problem is. He says, oh, just a minute. He walks back to the driver's door, he opens the driver's door, he comes back, and in his hands he's got a coil wire. And we plug it in. I turn the key, and away it goes. Now, you figure out what the probability of that happening is, all right? Talk about the miracle of God. So that was one of the stories I told him. I told them the story about the time when we were driving from back from the West from assembly in Edmonton in 1997, and I didn't understand why the car was getting just so hot. And then finally I stop, and it's in Wisconsin, and I look under the hood, and there is this battery that looks like a basketball. Somehow it had not exploded, but I'll tell you, it was more like a basketball than a battery. And so we let it cool for a while, and I said, well, Lord, what are we going to do? And just when I got back on the road, knowing I couldn't drive very far, just as we got back on the highway, there is one of these interstate battery places right along the highway. Praise God. God undertook. So I'm telling this young fella these stories. Do you think he was listening? He said, wow, God works in some mysterious ways. And I knew that this man had absolutely no background with Jesus. But do you think he was listening to the good news of Jesus? He sure was, you see. But it was only because I was trying to listen to Jesus and be obedient. Now, my wife, before we set out, said to me, they're going to need some help. Which meant, you know, I was going to have to buy the battery. So we bought the battery. It was this young man's birthday. And we made it a special birthday for him. And he couldn't imagine that anybody would take the time and do this. And God was providential. There's an Ace Hardware store just down from the Walmart where we found the right bolts that he'd lost. And we put it all back together and he got on his way. And so we got home about 4 hours late that time. But that was okay. Because you see, we were just learning to listen to Jesus, to be responsive to what he was doing, to remain in me and I will remain in you. Understand that I'm not bragging. I'm not. Because within myself, I was saying, this is no fun. And so we have the fact. And we have the command. And then in chapter 15, verse 5, we have the power of a transforming friendship described. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Some branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Now, some of you may be leading lives in Jesus that feel just like that, like withered branches. And here's the secret. Choose to draw near to Jesus. That is your choice. Practice His presence. Don't keep your prayer life to the morning or to the night or to meals, but let your life be continually a life of prayer, because prayer is about depending on the Spirit. Amen? And we are called to live in dependence on the Spirit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, there is a purpose in this. And so it isn't about making you feel good or making life easy for you. Okay? Because let's understand, it's all about Jesus. And the purpose is found in verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. And by the way, that's why it's important that we be a people of the book. Amen? Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Now let me just say something about this. If you are remaining in Jesus, you won't ask for anything except what Jesus wants you to ask. Okay? And that's where we end up in problems. With this verse. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now he says that in verse 5, he repeats it here in verse 7 and 8, and he is making it clear that this is the purpose, that we should bear much fruit. So, if I plant carrots, what do I need? Carrot seeds. If I want carrots, I must plant carrot seeds. The fruit of a carrot seed is a carrot. The fruit of an apple is apple, right? And so sometimes we get this wrong. Now, I want to say that it's important to pray, to read scripture and so on, but that is not the fruit of a disciple. The fruit of a disciple is another disciple. So who are you discipling? Who are you helping in their journey with Jesus? And you may say, well, I'm not a pastor, a preacher, missionary, evangelist. I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. Anybody have kids here? Anybody used to be a kid? You understand what it is to disciple. Because raising your children is actually about discipling, you see. And go back to Deuteronomy 6 and you'll see that that's exactly what the pattern is. That we are called to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, long before our children are even aware that we're doing it, we are discipling them, true? Long before they know what the purpose of it is, we are discipling them. We are loving them. We are nurturing them. We are teaching them. We are showing them an example, hopefully a good example. And that's what we do with everyone. Either intentionally or unintentionally, we are actually in the process of discipling. Now, going back to the story of the young man that we helped along the way, he was ready to hear about Jesus, you see. What was I doing? I was discipling long before he understood that I was discipling. You might say I was evangelizing, but no, I was blessing him. That's how we are involved in discipling. Our kids, we bless them long before they can ever say thanks. And you know what babies do, right? They mess all over the place. But we love them. We nurture them. We are actually raising them up in the admonition of the Lord. That's the opportunity that we have. Now, there may be some folk who are already pretty hard in a particular way, but as we bless them, as we speak to them with gentleness and respect, as we find ways in which to bring blessing into their lives, as we, in some cases, say, can I pray for you? Can I give you a blessing in the name of Jesus? These are all ways in which we bear fruit, because let's understand that bearing fruit is a harvest term. It's a harvest term. And so all the fields all around us, if they are beautiful, but they bear no fruit, it is sterile, it is barren, it is dead. And so we are called to be fruitful. And the way we are fruitful is by living out our lives like Jesus, learning his attitudes, behaviors, and character, depending on the Spirit of God, recognizing that he has sent us first of all to bless, because that is how we are like our Heavenly Father. Whether or not anybody deserves it or not is irrelevant. We are called to love. And so now we come to the practice of his presence. And here it is in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Jesus modeled the way. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Let's understand, to say that we are following Jesus and we don't listen to his word, we don't obey his commands, is nonsense. It's nonsense. I have 5 children, and time to time my children would express their emotional attachment to me, and they would say, Dad, I love you. I say, well, that's wonderful, But I don't know what that means, because when I tell you to do something, you don't do it. Is that love? Now, I'm not wanting to lay guilt on them. I just want them to know that love is more than an emotion. Love is an action word. Love must show itself. And so how do you show your love to the one who is your leader and your God? By obeying. Do you know any other way? I don't know any other way. How do we show our love, by the way, to one another? By serving one another. So whether it's our children, we serve them. Whether it's our spouse, we serve them. If we're a minister, we serve them, right? That's how we show our love, by serving one another. And that's the model that our Savior showed us. My command is this. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. You want to be joyful in Jesus, then this is how you live. Otherwise, you're like that cow that doesn't like the grass that it's in the field where it's been put, and it sees the corn on the other side and climbs up on the fence and gets stuck and can get neither. And he says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Now, that doesn't mean that you always like what somebody else does. True? I can tell you I love my wife, but there are times that she upsets me. And if you asked her, she would tell you the same. And I love my children. But I can tell you I haven't always been pleased. And we have one son who for the last 13 years has been in more trouble than all our other children put together. And we love him. We love him deeply. And we're praying for and we're working for the best for him. But I can tell you, his life's been a train wreck. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? How did Jesus love us? He died for us. He died for us. Even think what it meant for the incarnation to take place, to leave the glories of the court of heaven to come to this world. That's unimaginable. And yet for our sakes, he did that and so much more. He took my place on the cross. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Are you a friend of Jesus? Will you do what he commands? I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. You see how Jesus elevates us and says, you're my friends. You're my friends. Live as my friends. Yes, listen to what I say. But embrace what it is that I've called you to live for and to be about. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So you want to see Harmony Church prosper? Well, here's the key. Here's the key. And it's not just about Pastor Bruce and some of the leaders. It's about everyone choosing to own their own walk with Jesus. Amen? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go. Now, we had an ordination service, and it is good to ordain, to recognize those who are in stated leadership. But let's recognize that the Lord Jesus is telling us what he has appointed all of us to do, to go and bear fruit. And how we bear fruit is, first of all, by living lives of blessing, demonstrating the gospel. And out of that, giving an invitation, and people will listen. when you live a life that is winsome and like the life of Jesus. Then the Father would give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Now I'm going to close with a story. A story of what is happening in Indonesia. And you know that Indonesia is a country that is largely, overwhelmingly Muslim. But the Lord Jesus is active in that country. Because let's understand, this is not about a war of religions. This is about people finding life in the one who is the Lord of life. And we have faithful brothers and sisters who are actually laying down their lives just so that they can share the love of God. Some time ago, there were a number of churches that were burnt down as an effort by a particular radical group to attack followers of Jesus. Walter Moore, who is one of our missionaries, he's now in his 80s but still very active, told this story how during the trial of a young woman by the name of Siti, who was one of the leaders, one of the instigators of this particular attack on Christian churches. And while she was on trial, the judge asked the pastor of one of the churches if he had a word to say about what punishment she should receive. And here's what the pastor said. He said, "I want you to know that we have prayed for this lady and we have forgiven her. And we want her to know the love of Jesus. And I know that as a court, you will need to punish her, but let that punishment be as least as possible." And C.T., who was sitting in the prisoner's dock at that point, and she was wearing the head covering, removed the head covering and spoke out in court and said, "I have decided to follow Jesus because I have heard these words of love." Now, friends, you know that we are living in a time when we are afraid, in some cases, of those who are coming into the country. Okay? But that's got nothing to do with Jesus. What are we called to do? We're called to love them, to bless them. And they will come and they will say to us, "What is it that makes you different?" Not too far away in Killaloe, as I understand it, there's a story of what's happening there. The pharmacist, whose background is Muslim, has come to Jesus. You know why? Because of the love that the pastor has shown there in Killaloe. Praise God. Let's understand that our best days are not in the past, are not past. That our best days are yet to come. Jesus has said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And they will not. Whether it's in Indonesia, Killaloe, or Winchester, everywhere it is God who is at work. And let me tell you that God is doing some extraordinary things when we focus on Jesus and stop talking about religion and what you believe or what you believe as though it is systems of belief. It isn't. It is about a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord Jesus says, "Remain in me." He doesn't say, "Believe all the right things." Yes, believe all the right things. Please do. But let's understand that as a subset of remaining in Jesus. And so I ask, I implore, will you journey in joy? Will you journey in joy by being aware of your constant life in Jesus, being aware of Him, practicing His presence? And that, I believe, is the key to moving the next step forward. And see if it doesn't change what happens in your home. See if it doesn't change what happens in your workplace. See if it doesn't happen, if it doesn't change what happens when somebody cuts you off in traffic. See if it doesn't change what you say and what you think. I can tell you that regularly I have the same thoughts you do when somebody cuts me off in traffic or doesn't know how to drive. It's amazing how everybody else is not as good a driver as I am. But I've learned to get beyond that and to say, Lord, bless them. Surprise them with your blessing. Make yourself known to them. And I don't know what that prayer does there and then. Does something in me, I know that. But I also know that it never, ever falls barren because God is the God who honors the desires of His children as their desires align with His. So God bless you as you celebrate 131 and 132 and 262. And if any of you are still here then, Lord help. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for loving us so much. Oh, it is such a wonder that you should love us so much. It is beyond imagining. Lord, I have journeyed with you 52 years. And I can say, Lord, there's been nothing better. Nothing better. And so I thank you for that. Forgive me for those times where I've drifted, where my mind and my heart has not been fixed on you. But Lord, thank you for the opportunity to always be in prayer, to always be in communion, to always be aware of you, to always be in that conversation that will shape us and direct us and change our situation, but even more so, change us into your likeness in our attitudes, behaviors, and character. And so, Lord, be pleased to cause this word to abide, to remain. And be pleased, O Lord, to bless Pastor Bruce, Pastor Daniel. To be pleased to bless the leadership, Lord, and all your people here. For you have appointed us all that we should bear much fruit. Fruit that will last forever. And Lord, we want to be those who can receive that song that was sung, thank you for giving to the Lord. Not out of any glory for ourselves, but because we know that there's just nothing better to be lost in your love. And that's how your joy will be made complete in us. Father, we know that as we talk about these things, we may come this morning with some very particular needs that have tended to overwhelm us because we've lost our focus. And so, Lord, I would ask that you would help each of us, whatever our need, to bring those needs to the foot of the cross, whether they be physical, financial, emotional, relational, whatever they be, and to just lay them at the foot of the cross. And Lord, you will look after these things, and we can trust you to look after these things. And Lord, your answer may not be exactly what we would want, but Lord, I'm so glad I am not in charge of the universe. What a mess that would be. And I'm so glad that I am not in charge of my own life, but I can lay it at the foot of your cross, and whatever it is that you want for my life that brings you glory, let it be. Make it so. And we want to pray like our Savior. We make our need known. But then we say, Lord, whatever it is that you want, Father, make it so. And so that's how we pray. But Lord, one thing that we know for sure, that it is that you want to bless your people. And we know that you want to prosper your people collectively and individually. And you want your church to advance. You have made that a promise and a declaration. And so be pleased to cause Harmony Church to be everything beyond it has even dreamed or imagined. And Lord, forgive us for our small ambitions. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful where you have planted us. So every place where we are, that we will be agents of your blessing, demonstrating the reality of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And then when people come to us and say, what makes you different? We can just say simply, I'm learning to follow Jesus. Oh Lord, make us transparent in our walk with you. Make us, O Lord, even more aware of your presence. And Lord, when we struggle to live in this way, practicing your presence, this is where we say, Lord, help. Lord, help. Because we know even the psalmist from time to time felt like the deer panting for the streams of water because he felt so far removed from your presence. But Lord, we also know that deep calls to deep, and you will call in our hearts. And you, O Lord, if we are listening, will bring that sweet word of reassurance. Thanks, Lord, for hearing us. And it's not because we speak well. It's not because we pray well. It's just because we want you, Lord. And even when we don't listen too well, Lord, you in your mercy, give us ears by your Spirit to hear. We bless you and thank you again for your profound love demonstrated in Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And it's in his beautiful name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Sister, would you just come to the piano? Wait, call my wife to come up. Hymn number 428. I think there's a lot to absorb this morning. And I don't know how to do this, but go online, download today's sermon, or however it's done, and maybe listen to it again. That's what I recommend. Just listen to it again and let it soak in again. I think that's a good thing because there's a lot in there for us to absorb today. And I don't want us to miss anything that might be part of what God has for the journey of this church. 428, I need thee every hour. If you need prayer this morning, let's stand to sing it. If you need prayer this morning, you'd like the bishop to pray for you. I know he's available. We'll be available here at the front to pray for you if that's how you want to express what God is doing inside of you and you want prayer for that or a need in your life, then you're most welcome to come as we sing this. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the meat that we have received in the Word of God today. Lord, we know that without you we can do nothing, and we need to walk in that, Lord. So, Lord, we just pray that even as we go downstairs and as we fellowship and break bread together, Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would be walking with you in that. Your presence would continue to go with us, Lord, as we eat and fellowship together. Or if, Lord, those that cannot stay, just bless them, Lord, as they go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.